You'll notice in the if you have proscriptions in your Bible there, which is the little titles before the psalm or before a section of verses, you'll notice that this is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. I'll explain that in just a minute, but let's go ahead and read this. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, break forth in... And when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Father, as we approach this psalm, Father, this morning, I pray, Father, you'd speak to us into our spirit, Father, that you would strengthen us. Father, you would remind us of how great and wonderful and awesome are you as a God, as our Father, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, Lord, that we would give praise to you from our lips. And Lord, we might even start a new thing here, Lord, as giving praise to you for your loving kindness and your faithfulness, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you would help me to preach this message, Father. I can't do it without you. This is not about me. It's about bringing glory and praise and honor to you. So, Father, I pray that you'd be exalted even from our lips today. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I said this psalm is entitled A Psalm for the Sabbath Day. And it was used in the temple on a weekly basis. Jewish tradition says that this psalm was sung in the morning at the time of the drink offering of the first lamb, and it was also recited on the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was used quite a bit. And this psalm is one of praise and thanksgiving. You'll notice that as you read it, as you study it. And it's optimistic, looking forward to complete destruction of God's enemies, which you see in verses 7 through 9. But it's also a complete triumph and happiness of those who are faithful to him, and you see that verses 10 through 14 as we get there. Okay, so the psalm's a gentle reminder from the Lord to praise him for his love. How many of you know God loves you? I know that sounds basic, but that's a huge thing. But it is a reminder not just to praise him for his love and faithfulness, Yeah, there's more to that, and I'll save that. But it's a reminder to me, anyway, of how much I am dependent on the Lord. I'm reminded, as I look at this psalm, of John 15:5, that says, without him I can do nothing. And this is a psalm that even shows that, at least to me. It's a reminder to me to express more gratitude towards God for what he has done on my behalf. I've been reminded about that this week. And I think we're here this morning to give thanks to our Lord when we look at this psalm. You'll see in this, I'm going to be in the first four verses anyway. So look at what it says. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Now, there's much to be thankful for, amen? Thankful for life, for health, for food, for clothing. I mean, the air I breathe this morning, the water we have, you know, because the abundance of snow, we're not a place in the world that's lacking water. We have housing. We have income. But more importantly, I want to be thankful for the calling upon my life, for the repentance he's granted me, for redemption he's given me, for salvation that I've experienced, justification that he's provided for me, for sanctification, setting me apart for glory. I want to thank him for giving me hope of a better place called heaven. And the assurance, the absolute 100% assurance of my salvation. Are you thankful for those things? I mean, would you give him thanks? He says, look at the scripture. It is good to give thanks. So it's good. The effect of giving thanks to the Lord is it tends to lead to a happy life, a life of contentment, a life of happiness, a life of peace. Just think about that. Just think about that. An unthankful mind is an unhappy mind, which usually will result in a murmuring, complaining, dissatisfied mind, making for a miserable way to live, folks. Grumbling and complaining about life is a miserable place to live. Instead, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Yet, a lack of thankfulness really defines the times we're in. Would you agree with that? Do you see more people being unthankful? Do you see us as believers in Jesus Christ being unthankful? I mean, we are an unthankful culture. We're and I'm not talking about the world there. I'm talking about the Christian culture. We don't realize, I think, how good you and I have it. We have it good. We have all the blessings of heaven, folks. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, and we're not grateful. Certainly, thankfulness should be in the life of the Christian. I mean, it should be in our life because he's given us great blessings in Jesus Christ. A thankful attitude, a heart should be overflowing us, a heart of gratitude. Just listen to these verses. Let's go through Psalms here a little bit. Psalm 50. And listen to the psalmist as we go through these. Now, this isn't your first time reading these verses, so, but ask God to give you just a clear mind, a fresh heart, a fresh look at these passages this morning. So Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. You want to glorify the Lord? Praise him. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. Let's move on. Psalm 52, verse 9. And I only picked out a few, folks. You can spend weeks, months looking at these verses. I will praise you forever. Just think about that. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Praise him forever because you have done it. What has he done? Just answer that in your own life. What has he done? If you can say everything, then everything should be coming out of our mouth as praise. Well, even the bad things? Yes, even the bad things that happen in life. We don't praise him for those things, but just look at that verse again. I will praise you forever because you have done it, and in the presence of your saints. Even here, I would praise the Lord. But even here, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Let's move through into Psalm 54, verse 6. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord. It is good. What is good? His name is good. Psalm 34. Go back to Psalm 34. And verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise, being thankful, those things are continually in the mouth of a saint. Oh Lord, I fall short. And let's go into the New Testament. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. By the way, that Psalm 34, verse 1, I just added it. It's not in your bulletin. Let me back up to verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a whole lesson in itself. As we worship the Lord, even in our own heart. Giving thanks always for all things. Notice it says all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the attitude or heart of the believer. 1 Thessalonians would even say this in chapter 5, verse 18. Let me read that to you. You know that. You know that very well because it's a short psalm or short verse. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I heard this week. What's the will of God for my life? What is it? In all things, what? Okay, so you say that, well, I wonder what God's will for my life is. Well, it certainly isn't grumbling and complaining. But it is to give thanks in all things. So there are things in the Scripture where he lays out his will for us pretty clear. I'm to thank him. Well, I don't want to thank him for the position I'm in. I don't want to thank him for the circumstance of life I'm in right now. Well, folks, that's not an option. You're to give him thanks. Well, everything's going wrong. Well, he didn't say give thanks to him when it goes good. Give thanks to him in all things. And not only are we to be thankful in everything, but for everything. To understand... that this is God's will for us. Okay, so the need to give thanks. Why do I need to give thanks? Well, ingratitude displeases God. We know that. It's among the sins that define the perilous times that we're in. If we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at the times we're in, folks. 2 Timothy 3, the first five verses here. But know this, okay, it's required that you and I know something here. Know this, and if you can't tell this, you can't sense this, you can't see this in the culture, then get out more, you'll see it. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now this certainly is going to define for us what the last days look like. In the last days when this was written, they were thinking they're pretty close to the last days. Well, if they thought that it was bad then, how bad is it now? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Just look at the things that are a sign of the culture of people and a culture that's going farther and farther and farther away from God. Disobedient to parents. What? Unthankful. unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. People, that he's talking about people that look like, talk like Christians but never act like them, that are Christians by name only. It's talking about a world here that has no idea who Christ is. They look good, but there's no power in their life, which means there's no Holy Spirit in them. And so that's the culture we live in. If I took you back here to Romans chapter 1, thinking the need to give thanks, we certainly need to give thanks because we're living in a culture that won't. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God, now notice the context here, is the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we're living in a culture that can see the effects of God, and they have suppressed the truth that he exists. And so, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were, what's the next word there? Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Okay, look at the text. What brought about this wrath that sits upon the people that have rejected him? Idolatry and being unthankful. And God, when there's idolatry in the culture and being unthankful in the culture, God turns the culture over to a debased mind, folks. And what you see happening in our culture today are the result of two things. Rejecting God, in that being unthankful to God. So you see all these perversion sins going on in our culture. It's a result of being unthankful to him. So we are in judgment, not judgment's coming. And by the way, that's the guilty party at the last verse I read there. It's not the ones that just practice the sin, it's the ones that give hearty approval of it. So he's just as mad as a culture of the ones who do the sin as one who say the sin's okay. Ouch! But here we live in a culture that is very ungrateful and unthankful to God, and it shouldn't be us. We should be thankful. And we need an attitude of gratitude. We need to be thankful for what the Father has done for us. And I don't think we're grateful enough. I'm not grateful enough. It's not that I don't want to be, it's I forget to be. You don't know what I mean. I forget sometimes to thank him. But let's go back to Colossians, the book of Colossians, in chapter 1. Think of the things you and I ought to be thankful for. What has he done for you? What has God done for you? What has he done for you who don't deserve anything to be done for you? What has he done for a people who rebel against him? What has he done for a people who, yes, you've been saved, but that sometimes we don't live like we're saved? What has he done for you that we forget to be grateful about? Well, let's look at this. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience, long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay. From verses 13 to 14. It's loaded with things that God has done for us. Look at this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. What does that mean? He's conveyed us faster than you can blink. When you got saved, you were translated from the kingdom of the prince of the power of air, Ephesians chapter 2, who had absolute control over your life. You were nothing more than a puppet doing his bidding, everything wicked, because your nature was a flesh nature and all you can do is fleshly things. And you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he instantly, faster than you could even imagine, translated you into the kingdom of light. You left the family of the devil, with him being the father of lies and being your father, and faster than you can imagine, you're now a child of God. Translated into the kingdom of light. Okay, and what did he do there? Okay, by the way, you were conveyed us into, that word conveyed, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The kingdom of the Son of his love. How much does the Father love the Son? The same amount that he loves you. Whoa! Think about that. And in whom we have redemption through his blood. What do you possess today? Redemption, which means what? You've been bought with something. His blood. You've been purchased. You've been purchased out of wrath into life, out of death into life. The forgiveness of sins is the result of that. You have forgiveness of sins, past, present, future. And we could go on, but that's just one verse. Thankful for what the Father has done for us. Think about what you can thank him for in those verses. Now, look over to chapter 2, verse 7, as Paul writes to the church in Colossae. I'll start in 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay? Let me read that again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. What does God expect from you and I? Growth. Okay, he expects you to grow up. All right? Established in the faith. So you're not some ship that's tossed to and fro in the waters of life. Throw down the anchor, settle in, and grow up. As you have been taught. And listen, abounding in what? In your spiritual growth with what? Thanksgiving. Lord, thank you that I know you more today than I did yesterday. Thank you for what you showed me in the word this morning then tomorrow, today's a different day. I'm abounding. I'm not going backwards in my walk. I'm going forward in my walk. Being thankful for that. Okay, go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12-15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, folks, that's the believer. Is that you? Come on. Is that you? Okay, talk like you mean it. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's who you are. You're holy, which means you've been set apart, all right? Which means an English word to that would be pure. God has completely washed you, made you holy, and he has set you apart. Holy and beloved. Oh, does he love you? Oh, you have no idea how much he loves you. I have no idea how much he loves us. Anybody that can have the thoughts of us more than the sands of any seashore or all the sand grains of on the earth, more thoughts about you every day than what's sand on the earth, is an amazing God who loves you. Okay, what does it say here? Put on tender mercies, okay? Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And notice the end of this. And be what? Thankful. What would you be? Why would you thank God in that passage? Why would he tell you to be thankful? What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful that I'm part of the elect. I thank you that, Lord, that you consider me holy. I'm thankful that you love me. I thank you that the mercy that comes from you allows me to be also kind. I thank you for humility and meekness and long-suffering. I thank you, Father, that you've given me the ability to bear with one another when I never wanted to before. I thank you that I have the ability now to forgive like I've been forgiven. And Lord, I thank you that if I do have a complaint about another, I'm also reminded I need to forgive. Do you see what you could be thankful for? We have much to be thankful for. Much to be thankful for. And by the way, if you look at chapter 4 there, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So now, thankfulness is not only a part of the garment that we're to put on in this, what's called the new man, but giving of thanks is to be a complement to our prayers. It should be part of our prayer life, being thankful. Thankfulness is the key to overcoming what? If you look at Scripture, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. How many struggle with anxiety? Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And I'm just picking that out of nowhere. There's a lot of things we struggle with in life. But I see anxiety in that people worry a lot. You know, I don't know what you're worrying about this morning, but maybe you're just worried. Verses 6 and 7 there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, it's a key to overcoming anxiety, obtaining peace, the peace of God, which, as it says, surpasses all understanding if we keep going here. Okay, let's read down into that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So thankfulness is the key to beating anxiety in our prayer life. You know, to praying without, you know, pray without ceasing and to rejoice always, as it would say in 1 Thessalonians 5. That's the key in prayer. So when we give thanks in everything, we will pray without ceasing. And when we pray without ceasing, we will rejoice always. If you put it all together, So being thankful is something I know I struggle with. Who struggles with being thankful? Just a few of you. The rest of you don't struggle at all. That's good to know, all right? Let's look at the Psalm 92 there. Go back to the text. And before I read this, I want to thank the Lord for putting a thankful heart in us. And Lord, forgive us for not being more thankful. Psalm 92:1, as it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Now notice the psalmist tells us that, again, it's not only good to give thanks to the Lord, but also to sing praises to his name, to the Most High. You remember last week, his name, Most High, or 2 weeks ago, Elyon. What's that name mean? It means lofty one. It means the supreme, the uppermost, the one who owns everything, the sovereign. So it is good to sing praises to the one who's in charge. The one who is the creator of all things. It's good to sing praises to the Most High. Now notice it's a praise for his name. What about his name would you praise him for today? Well, I have a list of names here for God. And I'm thinking, if I don't know his name, how do I praise him for his name? Now, this is the name Elyon here. But he has the name Jehovah, Yahweh, the self-existent one, the I am who I am. He has the name Jehovah Teniskanu, which is, he's our righteousness. He has the name Jehovah M. Kadesh, which means he is the one who sanctifies. He has the name Jehovah Shalom, which means he's our peace. He has the name Jehovah Shammah, which is Jehovah is there. He has the name Jehovah Sabaoth, which means he's the Lord of hosts. He has the name Jehovah Rapha, which is Jehovah heals. He holds the name of Jehovah Raha, which means he's my shepherd. He has the name Jehovah Jireh, because he's Jehovah who provides for us. He has the name Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner. He has the name Jehovah Rohi, which means Jehovah is my shepherd. He has the name Jehovah El Gamala, which means the Lord God of recompenses. He has the name of Jehovah Nake, which is the Lord that smites. He has the name of Yah, which means the Lord is my strength and song, and that he's become my salvation. Again, he has the name Elyon, which is the Most High God. He has the name El Roy, which means the one who sees. He has the name El Shaddai, which means the Almighty. He has the name El Olam, which means the everlasting God. And that's just a fraction of them. Now, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name. Oh, folks, we need to learn who his name is. Just this list, and that's a short list. If I knew what his names were, I would be praising him for my righteousness. I would be praising him for sanctifying me. I'd be praising him for giving me peace. I'd be praising him for healing me. I'd be praising him for shepherding me. I'd be praising him for providing for me, for being my banner, the one that goes out before me. I would praise him for being my strength and my song, and so on and so on and so on. Sing praises is becoming of God's people. Consider David's attitude. When we go back to the Psalms here and look at Psalm 96. Listen to David as he praises the Lord. Psalm 96, the first two verses. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. That's a requirement. Sing praises. Share psalms with one another. Encourage one another. Today, we're supposed to sing praises in the name of the Lord, and we're to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Think about that. Think about who you may run into today and how you can praise God by saying, guess what? He's my God and he saved me. Think about that. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. In your quiet time, when you're just by yourself with you and him, think about singing about his mercy and his justice towards you. Well, how do I sing about justice? Thank you, Father, that you didn't drop the hand of justice on me. I didn't experience your wrath. That I'm not a child appointed unto wrath anymore. But I have been given mercy. And then go read Psalm 136 and see how much mercy God has. Look at David here, Psalm 111, verse 1. And so on, we can go through the scriptures. I will praise the Lord. Starts out, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Now I know all of us have come in here today with a whole heart in worship. Not. But it should be in us. If it's not in the world we live in, it should be in his children. And Lord, I need work there. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. That means we're singing hymns as Larry, inspired by the Lord, brings those forth to us. We're singing with all our heart, and we're not thinking about who's going to win the football game. Hear me? The game's going to happen. But we're meeting with our God. And so, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You and I have an obligation, folks, that when I approach God around you, my whole heart has to be in it. If not, I'm robbing you. I'm robbing you of you seeing what God has done in my life. If I come into this place of worship to worship God and I'm distracted with the things of life, those things can stay out the door. Guess what? They're going to happen after we leave. But I owe it to you and you owe it to me to come into the worship of God with a whole heart. Amen? That's the psalmist. Those aren't my words. Those are inspired. If all scripture is by inspiration of God, then who wrote this? I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. If I can't do it in the world, I certainly should be able to do it here in the presence of where my brothers and sisters are. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise his name. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for from this time forth forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name, now notice, is to be praised. Now what's the most, that last part of the verse 3, what do you think the most important word in there is? Is the right word. The Lord's name is, that's a command. He doesn't say it should be praised. It comes with an expectation that this is what's happening. It is to be praised. So David was a man, what? What was David after? What was the most important thing that David, that God saw in David? And David what? A man after what? God's own heart. Now I pray that's us. That is in the Lord that one finds the ability to rejoice always, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I can rejoice, I can give praise because his salvation gives me much joy. Psalm 21, 1 tells us that. I could praise him for his mercy as being the source of great joy. Lord, I'm grateful for his mercy. The Bible says in his presence there is fullness of joy in Psalm 16. Praise the Lord, we have access to his throne. Oh, that we would praise him today for our salvation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. This isn't in your bulletin. I'm just adding it right now. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Would you praise him for that? Amen. Well, the psalm goes on and it says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, which was a lyre or lyre, however you'd say that, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. God loves stringed instruments, doesn't he? How many here can play a stringed instrument? Raise your hand if you can play a stringed instrument. Now, let me ask you why you're not doing that. Raise them up again. I want to see them. Let everybody see that you can play an instrument. Okay. If God's giving you that talent, folks, it's not for the world. It's for him. You ought to be playing the instruments in this church. If you can sing, you ought to be singing. If you can play an instrument, play an instrument. Hello? I don't see any band up here. I'm hoping someday. No, it'd be good. Because why? Why would he want us to do that? Because it pleases him. He's not asking for you to be good. He's asking for you to praise him. Now, there are people that shouldn't own an instrument. I'll give you that. Okay? So that's not an open invitation for just anybody. Please. Oh. I've been trying to do this week. It's verse 2. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. I got up this morning, this whole week I've been getting up, and the very first words out of my mouth, Lord, thank you for loving me through the night. Another word for that is mercy. Thank you for mercy. Because I know Jeremiah says he's going to renew the mercy every morning. So I've been saying, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for loving me through the night as I sleep. I'm safe in the love of God. Thank you for loving me. And every week, every night this week, I've been going, thank you for being faithful today. Even when I was faithless. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you that every promise you make is absolutely true. And I hope we do that. As a congregation even, be thinking about that, okay? So, we need to declare his loving kindness and his faithfulness. We can even do that on instruments with a harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. We'll talk about that part next week. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful. I am so grateful this morning, Father. I just want to thank you for being a God of promises, God of purpose, a God that we can come to and who's our high tower, our refuge, a place where we can come and be safe from the wicked one and a wicked world, as we saw in Psalm 91. I thank you that you are the Most High God, that every part of your name shows how faithful you are. And Lord, It's good to give you thanks this morning. It's good to praise your name. It's good to declare that you've been loving to us. You continue to love us. It is good to declare how faithful you've been. And Lord, I want to stand before this congregation and say, not only do I love you, but I am grateful, Father, for your love for me. And Lord, I am grateful for your continual faithfulness, Father, even when I'm a project, Father, and I certainly need much growth. But Lord, I am grateful that you remain faithful, even if I show faithlessness in my life. And Lord, I thank you that even the works of your hands, that as we'll see even next week, Father, that we triumph in those things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.